Now, live from the WOAI studios in San Antonio, it's the Joe Pags Show.
This is the Joe Pags Show. To talk to Joe, call 800-383-9624 or go to joepags.com. And now, it's Joe Pags.
Hey, great radio stations across the land. iHeartRadio, joepags.com, also Newsmax TV. The Joe Pags Show. Coming your way on a Friday. Now, give me some strings. Okay. Horn section. Sorry, long trip. Long trip. Carrie, you aren't on the trip. What's that all about?
No, that's not me.
What day is it anyway? Where's Bob Guthrie? Let's go.
Friday.
Thank God it's...
Thank God it is Friday.
Yes, indeed.
Friday.
Uh-huh. Thank God it's...
Thank God it is Friday.
I'm feeling it. Let's make it a free speech Friday. Let's go.
Free speech Friday.
Freedom. Say what? Bring it down. All right, take it up a notch. 1-800-383-9624, joepags.com. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, email. It's all right there. Love to hear from you. That is Carrie Lockheed, my news anchor. Snarky snark, as she is. How are you, Carrie?
How's it going? Fine. 15 minutes ago, of course, yeah.
What does that mean? What does that mean?
Nothing.
See, we're coming out of the box in a bad way. I wasn't
Well, you
here
started
yesterday.
With the snarky
you
gotta snark.
You got a reprieve. Are you not snarky? Are you snarky
I'm
or not?
I'm not, no. I respond to your snark with snark.
Oh, no. No.
You
I'm
always
just even
start
keel.
It.
Nice guy.
It. Yeah,
bring
right.
it in for
nice
the people.
Guy.
And then you're like, snappy snark.
No.
So, yeah, that's your new
I know you missed me yesterday.
I can say you're a pain in my
it's
ass.
Okay.
Either way.
It's
not
okay.
really. Not
I
really.
You did.
No.
You did. A little bit.
Nah.
A little bit.
Yeah, I thought about it. And
yeah.
No.
No.
So we got a lot going on today. There's a lot to get to. I am back from Dallas, Texas. We had a talk radio conference, if you will. It's called the Talk Show Boot Camp, TSBC, that we do every year. I think it's the fourth one that I've gone to. Last year was in Atlanta. And I've been to some others. Maybe it's the third one that I've been to. Either way, it was in Dallas this time. So, of course, I drove there. Now, how long does it take you to get to Dallas?
Oh, my goodness. What, maybe four and a half hours?
Yeah, I mean, for me, I must have been driving normally. No, was it 2 hours? No.
Two and a half?
I tried, but no. No, we did it in just under four. So, it was three something.
Yeah, okay.
So, I mean, I wasn't breaking the laws too badly. Maybe a little bit. Don't tell anybody.
Yeah, but.
But it was a good time. And getting up there, you really do realize how bad people are behind the wheel.
Oh,
and you also realize just how bad people are while behind the wheel on their devices. For the ladies and some of you men out there watching on Newsmax TV, yes, I've got one of those shirts that's one of those weird button things. So I've got buttoned all the way up.
Oh, good.
Carrie.
Okay,
yeah.
good. Okay.
But a little tired, a little worse for wear after being on the road for as much as I was today. We did a conference. Pardon me. You can't even see me. What do you mean you can tell? That was just rude. See? That's
a
snarky snark.
Sorry. Just a little joke.
So I was on a panel today with some other great hosts and some great programmers. And it was a good time. I really did learn a lot. We're in the digital age. And we really don't know where people consume our content anymore. Instead of using words like consumer content, how about this? We really don't know where people hear what we're laying down.
There you go.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Much easier.
Because, like, we talked about the Oak Ridge Boys the other day, right?
Yes.
And Joe Bonsall is just awesome. And then, like, all of the members of the Oak Ridge Boys now have followed me. They all now like me. They all now have seen the ridiculous Elvira that we both did the other day.
Oh.
And we were able to connect in a digital way where, you know, not very long ago, we would not have been able to make that connection. And they happen to be watching Newsmax TV at midnight, like, last Friday or on Monday or something.
Yeah.
So think about that. I mean, that's an incredible amount of reach, but it's also an incredible amount of research we have to do to figure out how are people consuming the show. It used to bother me that people, and by the way, our ratings are so good that a lot of people listen on the radio. The vast majority do, and we appreciate every last one of you. Don't misunderstand where I'm going here. But there are a lot of people who set their podcast to download this show and listen to it either after the show or the next morning. Karina can attest, because of the emails I send her when I get an email from somebody saying, it's 3 minutes after the show, why isn't the podcast up yet?
Yeah.
So, I mean, Karina, right or wrong, I mean, these people freak out when it's not up, like, immediately. She's agreeing with me.
Yes,
I'm sure.
Of course. Yes, I get some of those messages sometimes. Like, I've got nothing to do with the podcast. I can't.
Right.
Help
I don't either. To be honest with you, it's my show and it's called my name. I get that, but Karina, thankfully, it does the great job of getting it up there. You know, normally, it's up there almost immediately. So when it's not up there immediately, we hear from people, and I'm like, I used to be the guy that said, "Look, you want to hear my show? Listen when it's on." But now I'm the guy who says, well, wait a second. You're engaging with my content. You like what we're doing. You like what we're laying down. So I need to super serve you as well. So, yeah, the radio audience is certainly priority one because you guys are listening, generally speaking, live as we're doing the show. Television audience as well because you're watching live. 6 to 8 p.m., we're live on Newsmax. This is actually happening. Look at my fingers. It's actually happening now. Unless it's midnight, you're watching a replay of me doing this with my fingers. So I have to adjust my thought process, and it's always a work in progress. And by the way, it's not work in progress, it's work in progress. It's always a work in progress to try to figure out what it is that we do and where people consume it. Like when I stopped putting my show on Facebook Live and so I went to live stream, people would start messaging me on Facebook saying, where's your Facebook show? Carrie, have I ever had a Facebook show?
No.
No, it's a radio show that we're lucky enough that they put on TV and that there was an avenue to put it on Facebook. But Facebook started squelching the reach and stopping the content from getting to the people who expected it and who wanted it. So some people think it's a podcast show. Some people think it's a Facebook show. Some people for 2 days thought it was a Twitter show. many people, the vast majority, know it's a radio show. And now a lot of people turn to it as a television show, like the Oak Ridge Boys. They probably didn't even know I was a radio guy that they happened to just see on their television. Like when I was at the White House and Hope Hicks said, you know, we were flipping around and we saw you on Newsmax TV on TV the other night. So it's where people get the stuff we're doing has changed so immensely that it's even hard to gauge what's going on. Mm-hmm. So we talked a lot about this in Dallas. How do we make sure that we're reaching people who want to hear what we're doing, who want to know more about our brand, who want to get to know you and me and Polo and Karina and Sam? How do we reach those people the best possible way? And there isn't a solid answer today because it's sort of in flux. What do we do? Do I keep on putting Facebook Live videos up where Facebook, instead of showing thousands of people, they only show, you know, 90? Do I keep on doing, you know, the podcast and then on top of the podcast, which is just the show, an extra content thing, like after the show, should I do another 15 minutes? That's just a separate podcast covering what we just covered. So, I mean, I really am at the mercy, and you are too. I mean, everybody in this business, especially us, this is the fastest growing show in the nation. By the way, I went to Dallas with 106 affiliates, came back with 108. So
we're still making.
Oh yeah,
good job.
We're still making it happen.
Can you tell which?
Yeah,
can you tell us?
Well, I'll say the states. Another one in Kansas, and another one in Illinois.
Excellent.
So yeah, we're making it happen. So. What I want to make sure that I do is listen to the people that really matter. Now, Carrie, I know that you think I'm talking about you, but I'm not.
I do.
Although
not
you matter to me, though.
To me.
Deep
do
down,
I really?
You matter to me. I'm
totally recording
so much.
That, right? Okay, good. Good.
Yeah.
He's got it.
Carrie matters, girl.
All right, now
you
creepy.
Matter.
That's creepy.
What?
Stop doing that.
But the people that really matter are those who are seeking out the Joe Pag Show and want more of what they see and hear. So what I want to do is, and I don't want to take phone calls on this because I think that it would probably end up being a boring talk show topic, but it's a very important topic to me. So please don't call me to talk about this. But if you don't mind, tweet me at Joe Talk Show, JoeTalkShow, and just say what it is or what vehicle it is through which you watch or listen to the program. What would you like to, what access do you need that would make you lock into the program better? And I really mean this, and this will be anecdotal, it won't be empirical. I can't really do a scientific study on this, but I think the information will be good. If you want to, you send me an email, just go to joepags.com. In fact, go to joepags.com, click on Instagram, go straight to my Instagram page, you can tell me there. Go click on, and by the way, I posted some pictures with Dana Lash from yesterday in Dallas. She's awesome. Let me tell you something, I've never met Dana before, but I've been friends of hers on Twitter, and we've had her on the program, and we have a connection through the Blaze and all, but I've never met her before. What a just a genuine, real person. I really like Dana Lash a lot. But you can go there, you can see that picture of Dana and me, and you can go and comment there. Or click on Facebook. Go to my Facebook, comment there. You can leave comments on my Facebook. Click on Twitter. Leave a comment there. And I'm being sincere about this. We try to bring the best show we can every day. It really does matter to us what vehicle through which you watch or listen to it. Because I think that does change sort of my mindset. Because for the longest time in our business, Carrie, all we really did was press the button and say, I hope you're listening.
I know.
You know what
it
I mean?
Has changed so incredibly much in the last couple of years.
And you've seen this too. Now, you have not gone social media crazy as I have.
No.
But pretty simply, and not even really trying, you've got thousands of people that follow you on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
And that really is important. And I go there and I see how engaged they are. They're always cutting me down or insulting me, which I think is part of the shtick. That's awesome. But I really would like to know, how is it you get to hear Carrie Lockie? How is it you get to hear Joe Pags? And are we delivering it the right way to you? Because again, in the old days, we pressed the button and I hope you're listening. Now we press the button. And look, I get, you know this, I get emails from topics 3 weeks ago. Yeah. Who is that author you had on? I missed his name. I remember hearing it on the podcast in the truck, on the boat, on the weekend while I was fishing, whatever. And I have to go back and try to find out what exactly it was that he's talking about or she's talking about. So we love everybody equally. Well, not everybody, you know, Carrie.
Hey.
But we love everybody equally, and we want to make sure that we deliver the best show we can. We will always bring you some fun, some entertainment, the straight news of the day, the very, very difficult stuff that we have to deal with. But at the same time, we want to make sure that we are appropriately reaching everybody we possibly can in the best possible way. That's why when the podcast isn't up, and Karina knows this, I immediately start emailing her, please get the podcast up. I'm hearing from people. She's like, it's 8:02. Seriously?
Chill out for a minute.
But that really, and people rely on what it is that we do.
Yep, I agree with that.
All right, big news stories today. The president of the United States looks like he's going to meet with Kim Jong-un. That's really interesting. We'll do Trump tweets when we come back. Also, I've got Andrew Pollack on. He lost his daughter, Meadow, in the shooting at Parkland, Florida High School, MSD, Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School. Legislation got passed and signed today in Florida. Many are calling it a gun control bill. It's not, and I'll explain why it's not. But we'll have him on live at the bottom of the hour to talk about the push to get this done, his new website memorializing his daughter, and just talk to him about where he's finding the strength to do all he's done since that shooting, which was less than a month ago. We'll have him on, and the bottom of hour number two, it'll be campus reform. All of that on top of the fact it's Free Speech Friday, 1-800-383-9624, joepags.com. We're coming right back.
This is the Joe Pags Show.
Hey, great to have you. It's the Joe Pags Show, 1-800-383-9624, joepags.com. I think the biggest, there are two demanding, and geez, Carrie, if I said there are three commanding stories today, would you agree?
Yes.
I'm going to go Kim Jong-un
and the
possibility
first.
Of meeting with him.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go jobs numbers through the roof, about 150 times higher or 150% higher than the expectation, I think. Instead of 200,000, it was 313,000 new jobs.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's immense. The economy really, really does matter to everybody. And that's how people vote, according to their bank account, whether they have a job in the economy. We'll get into those numbers, certainly. And I think it's a huge story that Rick Scott signs this bill into law in Florida. And again, I've heard people calling it a gun control bill today. And in the story that you're going to read, it might even call it a gun control bill. So after you give us the story, if it does say that, and even if it doesn't, I'll explain how it's not. To me, this actually does expand the rights of law-abiding citizens to protect people, especially students, in the classroom. If you don't mind, give me that story about what Rick Scott did.
Mm-hmm. And this is from The Blaze. Florida Republican Governor Rick Scott put his A-plus rating with the National Rifle Association at risk by signing into law gun regulations that give both sides some of what they want while also leaving everyone wanting more. Now, the law is called the Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School Public Safety Act, and here's what it does. It raises the minimum age for firearm purchases to 21 from 18, imposes a 3-day waiting period for most gun purchases, bans the sale or possession of bump stocks, funds a program to allow some teachers and school staff to carry guns after 132 hours of firearm training and 12 hours of diversity training, makes it easier for law enforcement to temporarily seize guns and ammo from people with mental health issues, provides additional funding for mental health services, and funds the destruction and rebuilding of Douglas High School's freshman building. As Scott said, he opposed parts of the law, including the new waiting period and the program to arm teachers. Still, he touted it as a good solution and a conversation starter. I'm going to do what I think are common sense solutions, Scott said, according to the Washington Post. I think this is the beginning. There's now going to be a real conversation about how we make our schools safe.
Okay. It's not a gun control bill because it actually expands the rights of teachers who are properly trained, administrators who are properly trained, other security officials who are properly trained to carry on campus. So that's actually expands. It takes away some of the restrictions on the Second Amendment that great teachers who died that day that stopped them from being able to actually save themselves and save the students. You had, the one assistant coach was a security guard who wasn't allowed to carry a gun, but died in the process of trying to save students. And in fact, he did save students. The banning of bump stocks, I got to tell you, you can make a bump stock from what I understand on a 3D printer. So I don't know that this is going to do much, I don't know why we're pretending any tool actually is what does the deed. So that part is a bit of a gun control piece. And certainly raising the age from 18 to 21, I think that probably will be challenged in court by somebody. We get ourselves into a very strange place when we say 18 is old enough to vote, which is a very important right and duty. 17 actually is old enough, I believe, to be drafted or, in fact, sign up or enlist to the armed forces to defend this country and the Constitution with your life. 18 is 2 years old enough to drive a car that could weigh 6,000 pounds or more. So I'm not really sure that the age thing makes sense. I think that'll probably be challenged. The main important part of this, to me, is that good guys are now going to be equipped, if they choose, if they go through the proper training, to defend a school if something were to go awry, and God forbid it ever does again. I think there definitely should have been, in my mind, a piece of this, and maybe they'll do new legislation on it, that says only one entrance to a school during hours. That entrance will be manned by an armed guard. I think these things still have to happen. A magnetometer should be there to stop somebody who's got a gym bag filled with armament. So it's a good start. It doesn't go everywhere you need to go. What I like is that Andrew Pollack was so involved in getting this done. And I've been texting with him back and forth for a few days. And as you know, 2 days ago, we had him scheduled, but he couldn't call in because he was still busy at the Capitol trying to get this done. What I like about what he did was, Kerry, when we were talking, he was getting frustrated, like on the text. He was like, they got to get something done. It's getting late in the day. Nobody's doing anything. These are the Republicans that won't meet with me. And I'm going to ask him about all that when we have him on the air in a couple of minutes. It's important to me to have him on to talk about this. Does it go far enough in his mind? Is this what he thinks will help save, you know, other families from going through what he's going through right now in the loss of his daughter, Meadow? I'm going to also, I don't know if he'll engage on this, but I'll also ask him, is it helpful what we're seeing from the four or five designated survivors by the media? Is it helpful what they're doing? Or is that actually, you know, blocking a bit what we're able to achieve by doing something intelligent when we really work through what the details are? I'll give Governor Scott kudos. We're still working on getting him back on. We've had him on the show before. I'll give him kudos in that he signed a bill that included something that he wasn't necessarily for, and that's arming the teachers. By the way, the whole diversity aspect, the diversity training that has to be done, that's stupid. But he probably had to do that to get it done so that some minority members of the House and Senate there in Florida might be okay to sign on to this bill. We'll talk with Andrew Pollack when we come back. Going to be a very important informational conversation. We'll see if this is going to come to your state as well. And it being a Free Speech Friday, certainly want to hear from you. 1-800-383-9624, joepags.com. Quick break here. We're back after this.
This is the Joe Pags Show.
Life. Rocket Man totally destroyed North Korea.
Fire and fury.
Fiery rhetoric
might cause him to come to the table.
Kim Jong-un. What happens next?
We meet President Trump as soon as possible.
Happens here.
I hope they're sincere. We're going to soon find out.
News Radio 1200 WOAI.
Hey, great radio stations across the land. iHeartRadio, JoePags.com. Also Newsmax TV. Go to JoePags.com for Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, email. Definitely want to hear from you on a Free Speech Friday. Glad to have you along for the ride. I tried to connect with this guy a couple of nights ago, but he was busy in Tallahassee getting some business done for his state, for the children of his state, and hopefully other states will take this lead and go forward with it. It's Andrew Pollack, who lost his daughter, Meadow, at the school shooting in Parkland, Florida, less than a month ago now. Andrew, I appreciate you taking the time.
Sure, Joe. I'm on the way back from Tallahassee, back to my neck of the woods in Coral Springs.
I was explaining to people that a couple of days ago, you and I were live tweeting, or not even tweeting, we're live texting each other before the show, during the show, we were talking to your wife. I know how much you wanted to come on and talk about this, but you were on a mission, and you weren't going to leave until you got the legislators in Florida and the governor eventually to make something happen. It was time for a solution. How do you find the energy? This is less than a month after the event. How do you find the energy to do what you've done?
Well, finding energy becomes easy to me. Someone murdered my kid at the school. So since someone did that to my kid, I'm indestructible right now. I can't be stopped. That's how I feel. So anything that I'm looking at in front of me, I have the energy of a lion to finish it, because I have my daughters looking at me, and I have a lot of people behind me and praying and I did everything for all the children. It's not for my kid. I'm doing it for all the kids in Florida, and that empowers me, Joe.
It's Andrew Pollack. The name of the website that he's put up is called rememberingmeadow.com. I want you to go there.
Rememberingmeadow.com, so then they could follow me on this crusade, because it's not going to end in Florida. I have an obligation to bring it to every state across the country.
Yeah, I misspoke. It's rememberingmeadow.com. Go there.
Yeah.
Incredible information. Incredible pictures. Sure. You're an incredible dad. And you're darn straight. She's looking down and she's going, way to go, dad.
Yeah, Joe, let me just tell you a little about that, what
please.
I'm doing with on that website. It's I had a vision of a playground for my daughter, like a princess, because my daughter was everything to me.
Yeah.
So I had you know how all your friends, you have a lot of friends, and they said, what could I do? You know, how could I help you? What could I get for you? So I had a vision of building the most magnificent playground in Broward County. So that vision starting to come true with the help of a bunch of friends, be public, and I'll be able to go sit there and think of my daughter, play in the playground and the fountains, and it's really going to be a nice park, and they could follow it at rememberingmeadow.com. That's really just something small that I've been working on.
Well, I want people to go there because it's very important, and certainly doing it in her honor and doing what you're doing in Tallahassee, and I'm sure you'll be at other
Thanks.
State capitals too. We're kindred spirits. We don't know each other, but we're sort of meeting each other now. We're both from Long Island. I'm from Suffolk County. You're from Nassau County. I've got five daughters. One of them is 17 years old, and about a year and a half ago, she was missing for about 3 days. I couldn't even imagine what you're going through. What we felt then was such a dynamic, disgusting, horrible feeling in our souls. We found strength to go and find her. We found strength to get her back. We found strength to reunite the family.
That's great, Joe.
Well, again, you're finding strength through the loss of your daughter, this beautiful soul, and from the community. Tell me what you're hearing from people who have surrounded you with love. I know that keeps you going, too.
Well, it's just so many people. I can't even tell you how many thousands of people are just praying for me and writing me letters how I empower them and thanking me for what I did for all the children in Florida. And it's nice. I'm trying to get to them. I got thousands. So whenever I have a moment, I go through my messages and I try and respond back to as many as I can. But it helps, you know, when I'm sitting around and mornings are rough. I think about my daughter a lot, but I'm focused. So let's talk about this bill.
No, I want to do that. I absolutely do, because you kicked some serious ass on this, and you were frustrated a couple of days ago when we were texting because you said there were some Republicans that wouldn't even meet with you, and you didn't understand what was going on. But then all of a sudden it sort of started to steamroll and snowball.
Yes.
Tell me what it was you wanted, and are you happy with everything that was in this bill?
I think the bill is great. I think the governor did a good job on it. The Speaker of the House, Rich Corcoran, he did a really good job. The lawmaker, all in all, there's a bunch of nice guys at the Capitol that are working hard, that care about the community. But there's a bunch, there's 50 that don't care about their communities. 67 voted yes and 50 voted no.
And what excuses were you hearing for people voting no? It doesn't make any sense to me.
It doesn't make sense. It's unbelievable.
Did they say what their problem was?
Yeah, I'm going to go over it with you.
Okay.
So when I went up, I had to go to Tallahassee a few days early because it was very tight. Well, I think when I went up there, the vote count was like at around in the low 50s.
Okay.
So we needed 59 votes to get the bill passed. So if you could believe this, so do you know what's in the bill?
Oh, I do. Yeah, we actually read the story about the bill before the bottom of the hour. So we did put out what was in there, yes.
Okay, so the bill has a lot of really good things in it. One of the really good things in it gives the police the ability to Baker Act someone.
Right.
Not only Baker Act them, if they're acting a little irrational, when they Baker Act them, they could search the house and take away any weapons that they could use on themselves or anyone else.
And it's clear that this piece of garbage should have been Baker Acted several times.
Oh, man. But the police didn't have the ability to even take his weapons, even if they Baker Act them. They couldn't do that. So this bill, if it was in there, just that piece of the bill, my daughter would be alive today.
Mm. And for those who don't know around the country, I grew up in Florida. I know what the Baker Act is. The Baker Act is where you can psychologically have somebody brought into a facility or some sort of a medical facility where he could be tested, find out what's going on with him. Is he a danger to himself or to the community?
Correct. And now they have the ability not only to do that, but they could search where he lives, and if there's a weapon, they could take it.
Okay. Good. I'm glad that's in there. Also, so
that's really good.
They also raised the age to 21 from 18. That also would have precluded him from getting a gun.
Well, let me explain that to you, because sure. A lot of people don't.
Do I still have you? I heard a noise, and you might have gone away. You still with me? Yeah, Carrie, I think we might have lost Andrew. Andrew, you still with me?
I have a hello?
Yeah, we actually lost you for a second. All right, explain the 18 to 21 part.
I want to explain this to you, because then I'll go further with
it. Please.
So the age to 21 is, say I have a son or a daughter who's 18, right?
Yeah.
And she's responsible. I could buy her a rifle to hunt with, to shoot, skeet with, to target shoot.
Yeah.
She's allowed to be in possession of it, but she can't purchase it.
Okay.
So even if you had a brother or a mom or an aunt, they could purchase the rifle for you.
Okay.
So it's only for purchase. So that hasn't been
reported much, because that's actually, I like that better, because I am a guy who's a pro Second Amendment guy. I like
Correct.
The fact that if somebody who's responsible buys it and then can give it to the responsible party 18 years or older, that makes sense to me.
Yeah, because in the Second Amendment, it's the right to bear arms.
Right.
So they still have the right to bear arms. So think about it. If the kid is 18 and he doesn't have anyone parent responsible overseeing him, maybe he shouldn't be able to just go to buy a rifle. This
right.
is a good thing.
Another
so part. That's why.
No, go ahead. Yeah, I don't want to interrupt.
So that was a big part of some of these Republicans that I had to go back at. They couldn't understand that one little part of the bill.
Well, it makes perfect sense to me, and I'm a conservative guy who likes the Second Amendment. It's Andrew Pollack, by the way, for those who are wondering, if you're just joining us, he's the father of Meadow, who was killed in the Parkland, Florida shooting less than a month ago, and he's been working tirelessly in her memory and in the hopes of saving our children as well in Tallahassee, and I'm guessing he'll be at a state capitol near you. Another part of the bill is where those who are properly trained, who are teachers or coaches or security people on campus, can carry. This was an important part. This is why I have respect for Rick Scott. He was against this, but still signed it, because it's an important piece for you and for parents like me.
Let me explain it to you.
Yeah, please.
So there's two things. So the thing that I explained to you at the 21, you got that, right?
Yes.
You could still get it. So
Makes
that
sense.
Was a big Republican. That was the only thing that was bothering the Republicans that, okay?
Yeah.
So then you go to the Marshall Plan that they put in, that was in this bill also. So the Marshall Plan is 100% voluntary. So in order for someone to be a marshal at a school, it has to be approved by the sheriff's department and the school board, right?
Yes, absolutely.
So if the Democrats, in that school district, didn't want it, they don't have to participate.
Right.
So what I couldn't comprehend, maybe you could help me. They were ready to throw out a voluntary program, okay, that they don't have to participate in, and then they were going to give up. What's great in the bill is there's going to be more SRO offices.
Right.
School resource. Okay, that. Mental health. Okay, they were ready to throw out the mental health that all the kids are going to get. You know, and in that mental health part of the bill, it's going to connect the school to the sheriff to DCF. Open communication. And they're going to get a counselor, I think, in about every school. Or, you know, to handle a few schools at a time. I don't have the exact number.
And Andrew, all of these people who voted against it, I'm guessing many of them were Democrats, didn't like this because of a voluntary program that the school board itself can turn down? Come on.
Maybe you could explain it to me.
No, I can't. It's politics. That's all it is, because this is ridiculous. If you have the right to say no, if you're a teacher, look, if somebody said you're a teacher, you must carry, I'm against that, and I'm a Second Amendment guy. It's up to the teacher, up to the school board, up to the sheriff's office. What's wrong with that?
It's misinformed. It's never going to be a teacher. Let me explain to you where this program is a really good program for certain areas. And I was instrumental in changing a name in the bill. It's actually named after one of the coaches, one of the hero coaches at Douglas. His name was Aaron Feist.
Right.
I don't know if you've maybe.
No, we've all heard of Aaron Feist and what he did.
Okay.
Yes.
So he went into that. Not like that police officer with a bulletproof vest and a weapon, waited outside. He went in, the coach went in, unarmed, and got shot and killed, you know.
And he had no ability to save himself or children.
No. So I went and I spoke with the Feist family about changing the name and the bill to honor him. So I worked on that about a couple of days with the family and with his wife, Melissa, and they had told me that Aaron, he would have loved that. He would have went right into that program if he could have. And if he was in that program, he would have been able to save everybody.
Absolutely.
On the sixth floor. So I want to get into it at another level of it to try and to explain everyone out there how this program could really, really help certain schools.
Well, if it's called a Marshall program, I'm guessing that it would be much like the
Marshall program, but they named
it's like an
it
airplane Marshall, right? No, no, and I'm glad they did name it after Coach Feist. That makes perfect sense to me.
Correct. So now you just brought up Airline Marshall.
Yeah.
Okay, because after 9/11, they implemented the Marshalls, right? Have you ever heard of a Marshall shooting someone on a plane?
Never.
Never. So that's my point.
And I think, listen, I think it's a perfect point. Here's the unfortunate part. We've already talked for like 13 minutes and I'm out of time. Can you do me a favor?
No,
will you make
problem,
me a promise
buddy.
That you'll come back on?
Of course, I got a lot of things going on.
Yeah, and I know you do. And as you continue going to these state capitals, I want to help support you in every step of the way. I want people to go to rememberMeadow.com. That's very important to me. Go follow you on Facebook because I know you've got a new Facebook page because you blew up. You had over 5,000 people wanted to be on your personal.
Yeah, I don't add anyone.
Right. So hopefully people will go and do that. But I want to support you in it. I want to ask you one thing before I let you go. And I've only got about a very short amount of time.
Go ahead,
didn't talk much about your daughter. Can you just tell people something about Meadow?
Yeah, she's just... You're putting the pressure on me. You think I could say it in whatever. You gave me 30 seconds. I probably could do it in like, it'd take me 2 days to tell you how special my girl was. She meant everything to me. She was my princess. She got whatever she wanted. She was the strongest out of her siblings, and she had two older brothers.
Wow.
Quick story. We went to when we went to get their immunization shots, the two boys cried, and she just took it.
Wow.
You know, and she was the little sister. But I got a lot going on. I'm not stopping in Florida, and I need help because we're strength in numbers because we need strength against some of these politicians and lawmakers that don't have the best interest of our children.
Right.
And that's the only thing I'm in this for. I want to make it that I'm the last guy to bury a kid that got murdered in a school, Joe.
I promise you, Andrew, you've got my help 100%. Let's talk again, my friend. Thank you
man.
So much.
Thanks, Joe.
It's Andrew Pollack, the father of Meadow, who he lost on February 14th in Parkland, Florida at MSD High School. He's done incredible work, and getting that bill done was a very important measure. Quick break here. We're back after this on the Joe Pag Show. Stay here.
This is the Joe Pag Show.
Sir.
Real news in real time, 24/7.
Gotta know what's happening in my city.
Because the news affects everybody.
News Radio 1200, WOAI.
Hi, great to have you. Welcome to the program. Thanks to Joe Pag Show, 1-800-383-9624, joepags.com. I mean, without a doubt, I don't know. Listen, I've known a lot of people. I have not met many people as strong as that man. Kerry, I mean, that's not even making things up. That's just strength. He goes up to Tallahassee, screw this, let's get it done.
What an amazing father. Amazing. That he has the strength to do that after what he's been through.
As he continues, and I talked to him a bit after the interview, I just wanted to reiterate with him that whatever help he needs, he's got my cell phone, he's got every way to contact me. And as he goes state to state, I can foresee Andrew Pollack going state to state all 50 and getting something done. And there were details of the bill that I think were left out of the news story. Not your fault. I mean, just the people who were covering it didn't cover this stuff. That it's a Marshall program. That there are specific people. Nobody. It would be completely voluntary. Nobody could be forced to do anything. School districts can opt out if they want. I don't know why they would, but they can opt out if they want. The Baker Act stuff, we had no idea that was in there, right?
No, I did not. Mm-mm.
And that's an important piece in that bill, in that law now, because this guy should have been Baker Acted several times. Mm-hmm. And once that happens, he doesn't have access to the guns that he jumps in the car and goes down to the school and uses. So, I mean, really good stuff. I wish I could have done a half an hour with him, but we'll have him on again. That's for sure. We appreciate him taking the time today. Let me tell you about Super Beats. You know, as we get older, our bodies do some change, and I saw that happening. Wanted to do something about it. You know, I'm in the gym all the time, and also I take Super Beats. It turns out we start seeing a decrease in our circulation, so we lose energy, we get tired. I found out that if I start giving my body what it needs now, I can promote natural, healthy circulation, keep on feeling great as the years go by. That's why I drink Super Beats. Super Beats promotes the body's own natural ability to produce healthier circulation for increased energy and stamina all day long. It really works. Only Super Beats is made from beets grown to exacting standards and concentrated into superfood crystals. So if you want to give your body what it needs as you age, call 800-516-8389. 1-800-516-8389 or joelovesbeets.com. With your first order, get another 30-day supply of Super Beats free, plus indicator strips to see how Super Beats is working for you. And you get free shipping, too. Number again is 800-516-8389, 1-800-516-8389, or go online, joelovesbeats.com, joelovesbeats.com. I appreciate you doing that. Make sure you tell them that I sent you. Let me see how much time we have, because I don't want to give anybody short shrift. you know, I don't have time to take a phone call. If you're on the line right now, I want to hear from you. And we've got full phone lines. As I said, get a hold of me on Twitter, Joe Talk Show, Instagram, Joe Talk Show, Facebook, Joe Talk Show. And I definitely want to hear from you. We're going to take a lot of phone calls next hour. It is a Free Speech Friday right here on the Joe Pags Show. Stay here.
This is the Joe Pags Show.
Better. Now, live from the WOAI studios in San Antonio, it's the Joe Pags Show.
This is the Joe Pags Show. To talk to Joe, call 800-383-9624 or go to joepags.com. And now, it's Joe Pags.
Hey, great radio stations across the land. iHeartRadio, joepags.com, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, email. All of that and more on a Friday. Now, give me some strings. Horns, please. Big lunch. Big lunch. Well, not huge. I did have cheese. You know what I'm saying? What day is it anyway? Where's Bob Guthrie? Let's go.
Friday.
Thank God it's
Friday. Thank God it is Friday.
Yes, it is.
Friday.
Uh-huh. Thank God it's
Thank God it is Friday.
What the heck? Let's make it a Free Speech Friday. Let's go.
Free Speech Friday.
Freedom. Say what? Bring it down. Harry, what's going on? You good?
I'm just fine.
I opened it up for the people, and on Twitter, many of them, I even tagged you on some of these. Oh, she's a real star of the show. More Carrie, less
Pags.
Yeah, well,
listen, like that one.
I'm tired like that from all the travel. Oh, do you? Because I'm tired from all the travel.
Mm-hmm.
Tell you what.
No.
Let's start now.
No.
Let's start now. More Carrie, less Pags.
No.
Newsmax, you can take her
joking.
Full. She's going to take it from here. Here we go.
No. Dude, no. This is your show. You have to do it. I hate it when you do this to me. So quit it. Come on. You still got 2 hours to go because I'm going to stop talking pretty soon. So go ahead. He was just joking.
Come on, you're the entire screen on Newsmax right now.
I don't want the entire screen.
I want there to be more Carrie.
Start talking, please. I just liked it.
Let's not pretend like you don't believe that. In fact, if we go back not too long ago,
I said, yeah, needs more Carrie in this one.
Wow. Well, doesn't sound like I edited that together. Sounds like you actually said it.
I do remember saying that. Yeah.
Yeah, you did say that as a matter of fact. By the way, Carrie doesn't care about the people, so she will not be in next week.
I'm on vacation with my children. I care about my
children. You know what? I talk to your children, and they're not really into
you. And they want me home. Yes, they do. Yeah, they do, too.
They're like, Uncle Pagsy, are you off next week, too? I said,
no, they don't want you instead of me.
I care about the people. They do.
No.
Oh, are you working next week?
Next week, yes.
See? You know why? Because he cares about the people.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay. You're not going anywhere?
No. It's going to be a staycation for a couple of days.
So we can call you, then?
No, you cannot.
Why not?
I will not answer my phone. Why would you want to call me? No.
We're going to call you on your vacation.
No.
We're going to give you a hard time about not caring about the people. Now, for all you people that are kissing her rear end on Twitter and telling her how great she is, this is who she really is. Doesn't really care. Bottom of this.
Seriously.
I
love my kids.
Nah.
Oh, I do too.
Well, you love your kids. No, I know you love your kids.
And I love the people. I do.
No,
but sometimes
see, that's the part
I need
that you're
a little
lying
break
about.
Or else I go a little crazy.
Really?
Okay. Yeah.
You love the people?
I love the people. Don't Rickroll me.
That's what you get. You
do
get
not Rickroll me.
I'm allowed to Rickroll you.
No.
Absolutely.
That's true.
All right, we're going to do Trump tweets in a second here, and some good stuff, because the president says he's going to meet with Kim Jong-un, and I'm not really sure about how I feel about this, so we'll talk about it certainly. But there are two people, so not many, but there are two people on Twitter who think that I've now given up my belief in the Constitution. I don't believe in the Second Amendment. I believe that everybody should have their right to keep and bear stripped from them, and I'm a no-good SOB.
Mm.
So let me explain a few things. I don't care if you think I'm a no-good SOB. That's never really bothered me. What does bother me, though, if you attack my intelligence. I had Andrew Pollack on. We got more details on this bill out of Florida. The problem that a couple of people, one of them, I think, actually uses his name in his picture. The other one, some fake account, some fake picture. And he, why don't you just, we're going to Baker Act you. The Baker Act has very certain detailed provisions. In fact, the police will show up to Baker Act somebody, and if they deem the person not to be a danger to himself or the community, they can't, by law, Baker Act them. This person clearly should have been Baker Acted. This person, and this is just what we know. There might be more that we don't know. See, the problem, Carrie, that people have that are trying to attack me on Twitter is that how dare the police show up and say that you're not mentally sound and we're going to take you in and take your guns.
Mm-hmm.
What the people don't seem to understand is that this guy wrote on social media, not, it doesn't look like it's just once, it was at least two times, he made it clear that he wanted to be a school shooter, a professional school shooter. Well, that's his First Amendment right to say that. No, it's not. You don't have a First Amendment right to yell fire in a theater or bomb on a plane or saying, I'm going to be a school shooter. I think if you make such a terroristic threat, I doubt the same people have a problem with some liberal piece of garbage saying, I'm going to go kill President Trump, and then the Secret Service show up. I'll bet those guys attacking me on Twitter won't have a problem with the Secret Service showing up and doing a full investigation. If they find out that there's an issue there, charging that person with terroristic threats and taking their guns. Well, that's different. There's due process. Well, the Baker Act is due process. You have to go there, and the person has to be deemed a threat to himself or the community. It's a very high standard. It's not easy to Baker Act somebody. But somebody who's had 36 or 62, because you hear a different number every day, contacts with police. Somebody who was expelled from school, kicked out of the school because he brought some shrapnel or some rounds or something to class. Somebody who it was known was having psychological issues and had a rifle available to him. His new family was like, sure, we knew he had it. We just told him to keep it locked up. Well, he didn't keep it locked up the day he used it to kill a bunch of people. This person, and I'm not a psychologist nor a psychiatrist, clearly rises to the standard of a Baker Act. And if you get Baker Acted, you're put on a psychiatric hold. If the doctors deem you to be a threat of doing harm to yourself or the community, you don't get out. They're going to probably put you in some sort of an asylum or some sort of facility. Can we say asylum anymore, Carrie? Is that politically correct or
probably
not?
Probably not. No. Oh, I can't.
So a facility, a mental health facility.
Facility, there you go.
Right, as the evaluation continues. And I think you're damn right. If somebody rises to the standard of being Baker Acted, they should rise to the standard of not having a gun available to them. Now, I understand fully that you fear, well, the government will change the standard for Baker Acting. Well, I will fight that. The government will make it. Anybody who's got a gun should be Baker Acted. I'll fight that too. And the rest of us with our 300 million guns will fight that to the death. That's not what anybody's saying. And as far as the whole thing moving from 18 to 21, Andrew actually explained it perfectly. You still have the right to keep and bear if you're 18, if you're an adult in America. And I guess some would argue you have the right to keep and bear even before you're 18, but that's not even the argument. One of these doofuses over on Twitter, they're arguing, oh, so you're okay with it being 21 to purchase. The Second Amendment, he's right, doesn't say you have the right to purchase, says you have the right to keep and bear. So if the government makes it 21 to buy it, that means somebody who is at least 21 years of age has to buy it for you. And that person will buy it for you and probably will hold some responsibility for what you do with it. But the 18-year-old can still have the rifle. Just can't buy it. Is it a perfect world scenario? No. But what we know about just these two things, and then you add in the fact that the assistant coach could have been armed now that this bill is passed. If the kid was Baker Acted, he could have done what he did. And he should have been, because clearly there was an issue here. If the age were 21, he would not have been able to buy it. Somebody would have had to buy it for him and be responsible for it. Had he had a criminal record because he brought the shrapnel or the rounds to class, and there wasn't a stupid promise program that stops you from being arrested to save your criminal history or something, to keep your record clean, he couldn't have done what he did. There were simple steps that could have been taken, and had the assistant coach had a gun, he would have at least had the ability to try to defend himself and the students that were killed. These are common sense. Now, if you think that makes me a gun control guy, you're kind of dumb. And Carrie, when I say they're kind of dumb, you know me. I mean, I really think they're stupid.
Yeah.
If they don't understand these very simple provisions. Is it a perfect world? No. Could we have gotten the safety that we desire and need in school? Had we locked every door except for the one that you have to go through and go past an armed guard? We probably could have just done that. Would the Democrats in Florida have agreed to that? No chance. They would not have. Democrats in Florida, as Andrew said, tried not to agree with allowing a good guy who we know after the fact ended up dying to save the kids to carry a gun after he has the proper training. That's how nuts these people are. And again, the whole keeping and bearing aspect of the Second Amendment is still in place. Nothing changes here. Of course, you could put a provision that if somebody is mentally ill to a level, a standard that the Baker Act is, shouldn't have a gun available to him. If you want to argue against that and call me names and I hate the Constitution, it's up to you. I normally like you, Pags, but blah, blah, blah. You're a piece of blah, blah. Don't listen. Dude, there's probably somebody right now on the radio railing against this bill. I'm here to say something should be... Look, if nothing else, I'm going to be consistent and not hypocritical. When I'm going to rail on Emma Gonzalez and David Hogg and Cameron Caskey and Delaney Tarr for being media sweethearts and complaining about the NRA and complaining about Donald Trump and complaining about Dana Loesch and not offering even one solution to the problem, if I'm going to rail on them, I'm going to make sure that I side with a guy like Andrew, who lost his daughter, his beautiful young daughter, I can't even imagine, in a school shooting that should have been and could have been avoided had legislation like this been in place. Look, if you want somebody to be hypocritical on the wrong show, I'm the wrong guy. Just damn. 1-800-383-9624, joepags.com. Carrie, I keep on saying it, but now we're up against the break. So I'll do the Trump tweets. Okay. I promise, first thing when we come back. Stay right here.
This is the Joe Pags Show.
Our radio.
All right, great to have you. Welcome to the program. Thanks. It is the Joe Pags Show. 1-800-383-9624, joepags.com. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, email, all of that and more. Go and check it out. Love to have you do that. Carrie, I think it's time. I've been teasing it long enough, right?
I would say so. Do it.
Let's do some Trump tweets. I was off yesterday. I'm tired. I'm hungry. Carrie has gas. Trump tweets.
No, I hate that.
All right. Mm-mm. Good stuff. Mm-mm. Why did you hate it? If I don't mention you, you give me a hard time.
You don't have to mention me in the Trump tweets. Because usually it's bad.
Oh, really?
Don't have gas.
Let me just tell you this. No. On Monday or Tuesday when I did Trump tweets, you were angry at me that it didn't mention your name. I had to hit the button again and say your name.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, I remember everything. I'm like a vault.
But don't bring up gas issues because that's not true.
Why? Is that touchy? Is that like giving your medical history?
No, I don't have a problem with that.
That could be a HIPAA law violation.
No, I don't have a problem with that. You can say my name, but that's it.
Let me ask you this. Why does Polo wear a gas mask? Because I'm not
Polo
in the studio.
Does not wear a gas mask.
Oh, really?
Really? Oh, really? Yes. Why are you lying to the people?
You say so.
Quit it. Just do the tweet.
I'm not. Let me just say this. On your week off next week, do you have a planned visit to the GI expert?
No.
Specialist?
I do not have a problem. No.
Can I set one up for you? Can I set it up?
No. Maybe you should go. No. I don't have a problem.
No, I don't want to go.
I think you should.
I'm fine. I have
your
no
cheese
issues like that.
And your digestive issues.
I have no issues. Yeah, I digest just fine. Mm. All right, this is from March 8th, which is yesterday at 8:08 p.m. Kim Jong-un talked about denuclearization of with the South Korean representatives. Not just a freeze, also no missile testing by North Korea during this period of time. Great progress being made, but sanctions will remain until an agreement is reached, meeting being planned. Dun, dun, dun. Going to be interesting. The president this morning at 11:47 a.m. tweeted, jobs, 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 hashtag MAGA. Are we saying MAGA or MEGA?
MAGA.
Okay, I'm going to go with MAGA. The next one, of course, is from 3:35 this afternoon. Look forward to being in Pennsylvania tomorrow in support of Rick at Saccone. I don't know, is it Saccone or Saccone? Do we know?
I thought it was Saccone or Ciccone.
Well, it's just S in the beginning, so it's going to be Saccone.
Oh, Saccone.
Either Saccone or Saccone.
I think.
Could be Saccone. They probably don't do it that way because
Choney
would be going to anyway.
No, it's not Saccone.
At S-A-C-C-O-N-E 4-P-A-18. Big crowd expected in Moon Township. Vote Rick and see you there. Hashtag MAGA. Mm. And the last Trump tweet for today is from 3:40 this afternoon. That's right, at Rep. Bost. Thank you for your work in helping support put America back to work. It's all about jobs, jobs, jobs for our incredible workers and putting America first. And I guess Representative Mike Bost put out something about pleas to the POTUS, has heard my call and the call of steel workers to bring jobs back. So there you go. Trump tweets for today. People are having an absolute conniption that he would dare say he might meet with Kim Jong-fat. First question I have is this. Will he call him Rocket Man to his face?
I'm going to say no.
This is huge. We're meeting with Rocket Man. Now, you don't think he'll do that?
I don't think so. I could be wrong, okay. But I don't think so.
If you were at CNN, and let's pretend CNN is still a news organization. Okay, mm-hmm. Just for the sake of this discussion, let's pretend it's still a news organization.
Yeah, okay.
You had jobs numbers that are through the roof, jobs numbers that you will give during this program at some point.
I will, yes.
You have a potential bilateral meeting, the United States and North Korea. And the topic will be the denuclearization of North Korea. You have an economy that's going through the roof, GDP going nuts, more people working now than we've seen in a very long time. And you've got a porn star saying she had an affair with the president before, way before he was the president 9 years ago, 10 years ago. If you're CNN, actually, I think it was 11 or 12 years ago. If you're CNN, which one is your top story if you're a real news organization?
I would say North Korea.
That's a no-brainer.
Yeah.
I think on a national level, on a national broadcast, that is a no-brainer, the top story. Mm-hmm. Now, I think you could argue the economy might be more important because it affects everybody, but as far
it's
as the wow,
story. Yeah.
Powerful story, it's got to be North Korea. You might even be able to make an argument for the gun bill that just happened or the safety bill just happened in Florida. To me, the fact that Anderson Cooper gladly, and actually I guess he's a representative of CBS in this one because it was for 60 Minutes. There's a picture of Anderson Cooper like posing next to the porn star and her lawyer.
Yeah, I've seen the picture, yeah.
I mean, what am I missing?
Are you surprised, though? You're not.
Carrie, great question. I'm not surprised. But I got to tell you, I do hope and pray, not pray, but I hope and wish. There are more important things to pray about. I do hope and wish every day when I wake up that these people will get smart and say, look, we got to report the real news here. Here are the jobs numbers. They're unbelievable. Here's what's happening with North Korea. That's crazy. Now, if they want to complain about a Trump tweet or a Trump policy like tariffs and get people on both sides, North Korea, get people on both sides, okay with that. The story about the porn star is not important to the people of the United States of America. It certainly is important to Melania Trump. I think that's important.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Because that's her husband. I think they were married at the time that this woman alleges there was an affair. But, I mean, this is not him as a public official. This is not him as an elected official. This is not him as the president. Yeah, but if his lawyer really was ordered to give her $130,000, that's fraud and it's a felony and it's a blah-ba-doo. I'm here to tell you, this woman herself has changed her story how many times? No less than three times that we've been aware of her. And she's, out on this Make America Something Again tour to try to get people to go watch her do lewd and lascivious things at strip clubs. So, and again, listen, it's a free country. Go and live however you want to live and go and make your money however you want to make your money. But the idea that somehow that's the important story here, I mean, that's what makes people turn CNN off. That's why nobody's watching that network. Now, MSNBC, I'm guessing, is doing the same thing. I don't follow them on Twitter or anything like that, so I wouldn't really know. But I'm guessing they're probably doing the same thing. I know they're freaking out about how horrible it is that Trump would ever consider meeting with Kim Jong-un. But, again, where's the beef here on this story? When Trump was running for election, he actually said that, my philandering is going to come out. Everybody knows about it. It's not going to be an issue because I've admitted all of it. Now, he's not admitting this one, but maybe it's because there wasn't one there. 1-800-383-9624, JoePags.com. Campus Reform when we come back. Stay right here.
This is the Joe Pags Show.
It's Friday. You know the drill. Pop a top and join us. Coming up at 8 on the Michael Berry Show.
Great radio stations across the land. iHeartRadio, JoePags.com. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, email, all right. They're also Newsmax TV. Love having you along for the ride. It is the Joe Pags Show for a Friday. Glad to have from Campus Performance, the media director, Cabot Phillips. Hey, how are you, man?
Doing well. Thanks so much.
I really appreciate you taking the time today. We normally do our segment on Thursday. I was traveling. I was in Dallas, so we couldn't get it done. I appreciate you coming on today, man. Thank you.
Of course.
All right, so I've got to get right to this because I saw something that happened last week. Was it at Columbia? Where
it was.
So you do this thing, and people might not realize this. I want them to go to campusreform.org to go and watch the incredible work you do and your team does. You'll go on campus, and you'll ask people questions, and they don't really know that you are somebody who has fact on your side, reality on your side, and you're not some indoctrinated left-wing millennial. But just looking at you, they think that you're one of them, and they talk to you for a bit. But I guess at Columbia, they were on to you. Fill my listeners and viewers in on what exactly went down there.
So we went to cover, there was a protest brewing. There was a conservative speaker, Mark Mix of the National Right to Work organization was there. And he was just giving an update on the Janus case, the Supreme Court case last week concerning, unions. And
Right. So
we found out that there were some liberal students on campus that were going to be holding a protest. And being a good college reporter, I went to campus to cover it. And the second I stepped foot on campus, before I identified myself for anything, students were yelling at me and calling me a fascist. And I thought, well, it'll get better once I get to the protest.
Right.
Those students will want to get their message out there. And
right.
And the second I stepped into the protest area, people immediately surrounded me, began screaming and yelling, and I just kept asking the same question. You know, who could someone give me some, you know, feedback on what you guys are protesting? What's the message here? And
right.
People were they went over with giant posters and they blocked our cameraman. They were stomping on my feet and elbowing me in the ribs and trying to essentially evict me from the space. I told them I wasn't going anywhere as a public space, and they proceeded to surround me and scream my ear. It was a very tolerant crowd.
Oh, I could tell. Very accepting, very tolerant, very, very enlightened. Now, was there no security there at all to help you out and protect you?
There was security that was off to the side that was guarding sort of the venue. And it pretty quickly, I felt obviously surrounded. I was not trying to get in a scuffle or anything over
right.
this. So I stayed there for about 5 minutes. And I began to walk out, again, trying to find students. I finally was able to find a student reporter who was able to tell me exactly what the protest was. But I just imagine the environment for a conservative student on Columbia, who that's what they see throughout the year. And really around the country, conservative students, they are consistently seeing that what happens to anyone who, in my case, I wasn't even pushing a conservative agenda.
Right.
I was simply asking them questions that were trying to get them to think. And anyone who even goes against their groupthink is met with name calling or met with, you know, threats of violence. People were threatening me. And after the protest, I saw some people standing off to the side outside of a coffee shop. And I thought, maybe they'll talk to me. Maybe it was just a show and they're putting them on the camera.
Yeah.
I went over and I said, hey, guys, just want to hear you out. You know, what's going on? Like, what are you guys' thoughts and everything? And they began to bark at me, which felt very, very intelligent argument being made.
Really, they were barking like a dog at you.
Like a dog, yes.
Oh, nice.
A couple young ladies barking at me like a dog. And I think it's just indicative that so many of the people, they're not concerned with having a conversation. They are so used to being able to shut down any free ideas, and that's their MO. That's what they're used to, and no one ever holds them accountable.
Kevin, I want to make sure that people understand exactly what it was you were doing at Columbia. And this is Cabot Phillips. He's the media director at campusreform.org. And make sure you go to the website, go every morning. You went there, and your sin was to ask people who were protesting. And again, you protest so people will know what your problem is and what you want solved. So you dared say, tell me the reason for your protest. I've got a pretty big platform. Let's get it out there and explain to people why. Are you suggesting that either most of the people didn't know why they were protesting, or the people were like, we're going to beat you up because we don't like you? I mean, what did you walk away with? Do you think they knew why they were there protesting?
I think it was a mix of the two, and both of those are concerning trends.
Yeah.
The first case, one thing I find consistently when I cover these protests, many times people don't know what they're protesting, but they view it as an outlet where they can go and they can act a fool, they can yell, they can be violent, they can threaten people without repercussion. And so many times people will join these protests just to go along with whatever the violence is. And many times, yeah, people will know why they're protesting, but they won't, you know, they're so accustomed to never having an opposing view brought forward that they're not comfortable debating. And so they just try to shut down any debate that's brought before them in the name of diversity, in the name of inclusion, whatever it is. And so they're not willing to debate, not because they don't know why they're protesting, but simply because they have never learned to debate because they're so unaccustomed to any other ideas being brought against them.
I think very well said. Cabot Phillips, the media director from campusreform.org, get there. There's a Brown course calling Trump's election win a white lash. You know where they got this, right? Van Jones said that on election night. He said this, and he said it very dramatic. This is a white lash. So what exactly is this course? I mean, how can you possibly get credit for studying a line that this idiot said on election night?
You know, we've said this before, but many times in the past, universities will try and hide the implicit bias in their courses. They're not even hiding it anymore. This is in the course. The name of the course is Resistance to Racial Equality from the Civil War to Donald Trump.
Wow.
And right there in the syllabus, it equates Donald Trump to many of the atrocities, the racial atrocities from slavery and things like that in our early history of our country. And this, what makes it even more concerning, this is a course that Brown is offering for high school students during the summer. And so these are now high school students that are having this.
We have to indoctrinate them early, Cabot. You have to understand.
Exactly. Yeah. Earlier and earlier. And this is just another example of what we see, you know, this white lash saying that there's no possible way Donald Trump could have won the election on merit or because, you know, voters actually wanted him in office. It has to be something racial. There has to be some sort of identity politics behind it. And that's why we see this kind of thing being pushed, that the only reason that President Trump's in office is because of this. And the only reason that, you know, that's what we see a lot, is the stirring the racial pot of division. We saw a course at the University of Florida. The name of the course is called White Racism. That's the name of the course on the syllabus. And so you can learn about things. It really does seem Like the danger here is
you're watering down
that term. There is
You're right. If you just called it racism, yeah. It's actually probably a course that I would want to look into. You're calling it white racism. You're pretty much saying the only people who are racist are the white people. And they might as well have called the course Get Whitey. It's Kevin Phillips. He's the media director over at campusreform.org. When I was in school, I remember maybe once I called somebody an it because I was being denigrative. And I think the teacher, might even been my mother, somebody said, that's not an animal, that's a her, or that's a she, or that's a him. I mean, it was disrespectful to say it, but you're telling me that it's actually being taught that you should say it.
Yeah, at Bryn Mawr College, their inclusion center, which is a center on campus that is pushing, I'm sure, inclusion, but in their case, it means, you know, excluding anyone who disagrees with them.
Right.
Their inclusion center, they offered a pamphlet. And they have 8 different gender-neutral pronouns for students on campus because it's, of course, wrong to assume that someone is one of the two genders.
Of course.
They are now, you know, dozens of different genders you can refer to. And so this pamphlet is now given out to students, and they, you know, you can ask them what pronouns they prefer. Many universities, we've seen now the faculty at the beginning of the year send out emails to students saying, I'm Professor so-and-so, here are my preferred pronouns. And students will return by giving their preferred pronouns because, heaven forbid, a professor misidentify a student in class. And one of the preferred pronouns in this pamphlet, like you said, is it. So now it is a pronoun for human beings, not things, not animals, but it is somehow less offensive than him or her, which is completely ridiculous.
Dude, I would have been grounded. Now, I know that Zier and here and Zim, those are all parts of it, too.
Yeah, it's
just nuts. It's Cabot Phillips, the media director over at Campus Reform. Cabot, by the way, just so you know, now I can understand you and I can hear you, but your cell phone almost sounds like a ham radio. I'm just going to put it right out there. Every once in a while, you get a really nice beep. I think it's like a ham radio. And this is what we're doing. We try all the technology on the Joe Pag Show. I want to grab one last one, which really does grab my attention. And I've talked about her a lot. Linda Sarsour, I'm not making this up. I'm going to now say fact. Linda Sarsour is a pro-Palestinian American from New York. But she is somebody who is a pusher of Sharia law. To the point that I don't think she's deleted these tweets from a few years ago where she's saying zero interest loans. Doesn't that sound great? Well, that's what Sharia law does. She's a Sharia law pushing anti-Jewish, pro-Palestinian. I hate the American way. I hate Trump. I hope Allah sees our hatred of Trump as jihad. This is that woman. I just want to make sure I understand where she shows up recently.
Correct.
And there's no issue?
And she is actually on campus this week speaking at UConn as a part of Women's History Month. The Women's History Month is celebrating Linda Sarsour, a woman who has openly advocated for Sharia law, like you said.
And Sharia law, for those that don't understand, this is not me making it up. Sharia law says, and the Hadith says, a woman is 50% of a man. If she disrespects her husband, of course he can beat her. So this is what she is actually pushing. She was there for Women's Week. I'm guessing the security had to be huge because of the protests.
It was not. Shockingly, it was not. Although earlier in the month, when Ben Shapiro tried to come to campus, the university offered counseling for students after the speech.
Come on, dude.
They emailed out saying his ideas are incredibly controversial. They're harmful to many students. We will have counselors present on campus afterwards to deal with his ideas. Linda Sarsour comes, someone who is far more controversial. Any rational person can understand that.
Yeah.
And nothing of the sort. And also, I like to point out the way that conservative students react to ideas they disagree with. When Linda Sarsour comes, there weren't people flipping cars in the streets. There weren't people punching anyone. There wasn't name calling. There were peaceful protests, and there were people on campus that said, I'm just not going to go listen to her. That's the difference between conservative students and liberal students. The liberal students will find shut down any idea they disagree with.
Right.
And Linda Sarsour, anytime there is someone that, you know, should be deemed controversial, it's her. It's completely contrary to what the women's movement is all about.
Oh, and by the way, she's one of the organizers of the Women's March, which is also a complete and utter, you know, hypocritical move. It's an oxymoron. It's whatever the word is, the antithesis of what should be happening. This woman is involved in women's marches, and she would hope that women would embrace Sharia law. I don't understand it. I can't ever understand it. Cabot, I don't know how you do the job you do, man, because as much as I pull my hair out every day in my job, you guys really go the extra mile, and I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Anything for the movement.
Exactly right. We'll keep it. Hey, last quick one. You're going to go back and do more of this stuff on campus, right? I think those things are genius.
Absolutely. We have more coming. We're going to be filming a video asking students about the cultural appropriation surrounding St. Patrick's Day and how they think it's cultural appropriation. We've got some videos coming with North Korea, South Korea, asking students' opinions on that. So we're gonna keep them coming.
Dude, I cannot wait. Campusreform.org, campusreform.org. It's Cabot Phillips. Cabot, thanks a million.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
All right, we'll talk again soon. 1-800-383-9624, joepags.com. I love campus reform. If you're not checking that out every morning, you're missing out. Keep it here. Back after this in the Joe Pags Show.
This is the Joe Pags Show.
News Radio 1200, WOAI.
All right, great to have you. Welcome. It is the Joe Pags Show. 1-800-383-9624, joepags.com. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, email on a Free Speech Friday. Calls in a second. Let me tell you, though, you should be concerned about your blood pressure. Make sure you know what the number is. Make sure it's in the healthy range. Make sure you do something to get it there. If it isn't, it's one of the keys to overall health of your body and heart health, too. If you're looking for a way to help support healthy blood pressure levels with a simple lifestyle change, the good news is there's something available for you. It's a super vegetable that's great for your heart. They're beets. Super Beets is a convenient way to get the benefits of beets every day. Super Beets provides a nutrient that helps support healthy blood pressure by working with the body's own natural systems. Only Super Beets is made from beets grown to exacting standards, then concentrated into superfood crystals. So if you want to maintain healthy blood pressure, you're going to want to do this. Okay, call 800-516-8389, 1-800-516-8389, or joelovesbeets.com, joelovesbeets.com. With your first order, get another 30-day supply of Super Beets free, plus indicator strips to see how Super Beets is working for you, and free shipping, too. Again, 800-516-8389, 800-516-8389, or joelovesbeets.com. Make that happen right now. Let me go to the phone lines. I appreciate you being patient, Mickey, in Tucson, Arizona. What's on your mind? Hi.
Hello, Joe.
Yes, sir.
I have a perfect patriotic flag poem that I wrote in 1984, but as soon as the NFL started going to the knee, I brought it back out.
You've got a patriotic flag poem. I'd love to hear it. Go ahead.
It's called, now, the title was "The Star-Spangled Banner is the Flag I Wave." But we're listening to your show the day, and my daughter was the reason I wrote this. I'm going to call it "My Daughter is the Flag I Wave."
Okay.
My daughter is the flag I wave. She rides aloft and free, high above the evening shadows of the mountain's majesty. She rides above the shadows, floating gently on the wind. And as always in the evening, she begins to sing again. My neighbor, too, is watching, and by the rhythm of his knee, I know he rides beside her through the halls of history. And as I observe the glory reflected in my neighbor's eyes, I feel the shiver of the shadow as the evening breezes rise. I can hear my flag a-humming. I can feel the banner's beat, and my fingertips start drumming to the echoes at her feet. Vibrating patriotic tunes drawn from deep within our hearts, shake the windows of our rooms when the daughter's music starts. And that's the end of it. Are you there?
That's great. It's stirring. It's a very great use of poetry, and the meaning is very deep. You know, I've got five daughters. I know that you listened to Andrew called in. Talking about his daughter. It's wonderful.
Another guy's got a daughter. Oh, it only took 5 years to get all the words right. So.
Well, Mickey, I think you got him exactly right, and I appreciate you sharing that with me and with my audience. Thank you so much. Carrie, that was kind of nice, wasn't it?
That was awesome, yeah. It was very,
and the way
very
you read
nice.
It was just great.
I know.
I can listen
was
to him.
Really,
you know,
passionate
he's the way,
about that.
Yeah, the way that he moved the phrases, beautiful, mm-hmm. Mickey. I appreciate you sharing that with us. Let me go back to the phone lines and say hi to Paul, who's in San Antonio. Paul, what's going on? Hi. You know, that's line five, Carrie.
Yes,
I'm telling you, line five
two.
Is a new line two. So let me go to line two because this person's probably still there. Gail, what's on your mind? Hi. Really, yeah. Line two and line five now? Hi, Gail, talk to me. Hi.
Okay, I'd like to talk to you about what I think is the root of the problem, one of the main root, with these school shootings.
Okay.
Nobody ever brings up the Promise Program. And I see
I brought it up. Yo, I actually brought it up earlier, but go ahead.
I'm sorry, I wasn't tuned in then. But
it's okay.
Right there, I think, is the root of the whole problem. And we see this up in this area, even in the elementary schools.
And the elementary school kids would have criminal records otherwise, really?
Well, that is that if people are really bad actors at school or bad bullies or anything else. The schools try to solve it in-house, don't call the law, and the law does the same thing.
Well, Gail, I've got to run here, and I appreciate you bringing that up again. I did mention the Promise Program. For those who don't know, it's a program put in place by Obama and the Obama administration to not have young people have criminal records, even if they do something that's criminal while in school, like giving them another chance or something. Then they have more promise in their lives or some crap. I have an idea. If somebody breaks the law, charge them for breaking the law. This guy in Florida could never have done what he did, never could have bought a gun had they actually done the right thing. Quick break here. We're back after this.
This is the Joe Pags Show.
Cool data.
Now, live from the WOAI studios in San Antonio, it's the Joe Pags Show.
This is the Joe Pags Show. To talk to Joe, call 800-383-9624 or go to joepags.com. And now, it's Joe Pags.
Hey, great radio stations across the land. iHeartRadio, JoePags.com. Also live stream. So you get hour number three. It's the Joe Pags Show coming your way on a Friday, a Free Speech Friday.
Free Speech Friday!
Freedom. Take it up a notch. Along with Carrie Lockie, my news anchor, general pain in my ass, who is going to run from the people next week.
I'm taking a little vacation from other people.
I checked, and most people don't appreciate you ever taking a vacation. So,
well, I need it. I think I need it.
Why do you need it?
Because.
I am the best part of your day. You stop the BS.
Okay, whatever you
just
say.
Stop the garbage.
I still need a little vacation, okay?
All right, if you say so. No, there's a lot going on. I think I'll bring you my interview with Andrew Pollack again at the bottom of the hour. If you missed it in the first hour, he is the father of Meadow, who was killed at Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School in Parkland, Florida last month. And he just got some legislation done. And only two or three people over on Twitter have given me a hard time. I'm a Second Amendment guy. I get it. I'm a gun owner. I've got a license to carry, and I carry often, if not always. And I've got an AR-15. I'm a pro-gun guy. I'm a pro-Second Amendment guy, and I understand what the Second Amendment stands for and why it's there. Not about hunting. It's not about shooting target practice. But simple provisions put in place to make sure somebody who has made himself a clear and present danger to the community makes sense to me. And listen, if you want to have at me on this, I'm listening. You want to have at me on this? I'm there. When we first did the story, what's interesting, Carrie, the people who are complaining to me that I'm, you know, for raising the age and everything else, did they not hear when we first presented the story when I said, you know, you're probably going to get some lawsuits and a challenge to that on Second Amendment grounds? And I think I remember saying...
They didn't hear that.
Well, I mean, you let me know if I said it. Maybe I just thought it.
I know you did. But I remember you saying
I thought
that.
I said something about you can enlist in the military at 17. You can... vote when you're 18. You can drive for 2 years already when you're 18. So saying that you can't have your Second Amendment right at 18, I think somebody will challenge that. Mm-hmm. I said that very clearly and very succinctly. I understood what Andrew said, though, and you'll hear the entire interview at the bottom. He said that it doesn't stop you from having a gun, keeping and bearing. It just stops you from purchasing. And that makes sense to me. Somebody else goes and buys it. You know, I'm 51. If my 18-year-old child wanted a gun, and I think he or she is of sound mind and will do only positive things with the gun and will protect him or herself, you know, with that gun, and will you know, take up that arm if necessary to support the Constitution, I can go and buy the gun, and my child can have the gun. The Second Amendment is not violated there. You know, it would be a more interesting discussion, I think, if we talked about how the Second Amendment somehow doesn't apply to anybody under 18. Now, that's kind of weird to me, because what was the original intention? Should a 10-year-old be able to have a gun or not? I don't know. Should a 14-year-old? How did we get to the point to where 18 is an adult even? And in some states it's not, but in most states it is. And then we say 21 for drinking, now 21 to buy a gun, but 18 to do this, that, and the other, and 17 to sign up for select services, whatever. So, I mean, I've talked about this all the time. I've talked about this many, many times anyway. We are somehow selective on who's an adult and who isn't, depending on what the topic is. So again, as we talked about it, I said, after Carrie read the story, that there will be a challenge to this, I would imagine, And who knows? Maybe the Supreme Court says 18-year-olds have the right to buy a gun. Now, again, I will argue that they have the right to keep and bear, but that doesn't mean you have the right to purchase. Interesting quandary. An interesting discussion. And the thing I don't understand, I'm an NRA member, and I'm a gun carrier, and I'm a guy who believes in all this stuff. The thing I'll never understand is why people who, generally speaking, agree with me can't just be cool about how they respond to it. If you want to debate, call the show. If you want to, tell me that I'm wrong on Twitter, feel free. You are wrong. Here's why. And then I come back and say, well, here's the reasons why I think this is actually correct. And then you say, some guy said I paid off and somebody bought me off, or I'm a shill now. They think that's going to work. Oh, he thinks I'm a shill. Let me change my opinion. I made the opinion on the facts that I was presented with. If you disagree, you're allowed. You truly are. You have to be a jerk about it. All right, 1-800-383-9624, joepags.com. We will get into the economic numbers in a moment. I've had people on hold, though, for the entirety of the program. I want to make sure that we get to more people on a Free Speech Friday. It's going to be Vincent in Texas on line 3. Hi, Vincent, what's going on?
Yeah, Joe, as far as, him saying that, you can have another responsible person purchase the gun for you, that is what's called a straw purchase and is against federal law. So the state may be willing to overlook it, but the federal government can still put you in a federal prison.
Well, you actually make a very good point. That is a straw purchase. If I buy a gun for you, it's a straw purchase. I wonder if the state can say it can be a relative who's of age. I don't know. I don't know what the provisions are exactly. I don't have the bill in front of me. That's an interesting point. But at the same time, I'll say this. There are many states that have legalized marijuana, and that's against federal law, too. So I'm not really sure where this comes down, where this ends up, other than in the Supreme Court,
right,
where they can decide the constitutionality of it.
Yes, and also when you're talking about, like, Colorado, they're still going back and forth with the Justice Department. Justice Department saying they're going to come in and shut down the pot growers, right, and all this. So that's still – but that – marijuana is not in the Constitution. Guns are.
No, I understand that completely. But again, all right, so I agree with you that the Second Amendment is the Second Amendment, is the Second Amendment. I agree that the well-organized militia is the entirety of the people. I agree that we all have the right to protect ourselves, our families, our stuff from tyranny or any other person who would want to come and infringe. But Vincent, simple question. How old is old enough to have a gun? One? Two? Can a five-year-old have a gun? I mean, where are the limitations of the Second Amendment, if there are any?
Well, the limitations that we are going with now is what the federal government has set as 18 for long guns, 21 for handguns.
Right.
For a state or even a store, Dick's, Walmart, to all of a sudden say, you no longer at 18 have a Second Amendment right. I believe Walmart and Dick's, they're already being sued, and I hope somebody gets money out of them.
I don't think they'll get money. I think they'll be forced to, if they're selling those guns, they'll be forced to sell it to somebody who is of the federal age. Having said that, even though the federal government has decided 18 for long guns and 21 for pistols or for handguns, even though the federal government said that, that's not in the Constitution. So that is a provision put on it by government that is unconstitutional, although it's been deemed, we can sort of see how that would be okay. So what's to stop states from making the same sort of moves? Now the feds will have to respond via the court system.
Well, that's just it. If the federal government changes it from 18 to 21, I believe it would stand. But for a state just to come in and steal those years of Second Amendment rights, constitutional federal level rights from someone.
Well, again, they're not. I mean, they are actually, getting around it. And you're right. It goes against federal law. And this will be decided in the courts. But as Andrew explained, they're not taking away your right to keep and bear. They're just saying you can't buy it until you're 21. That doesn't infringe on the right. There is nothing in the Second Amendment that talks about buying it.
But if you cannot get it, to say you can have it is kind of absurd.
Well, you can get it. And again, somebody... Well, you're right. When it comes to buying a gun for somebody else, that's a straw purchase. That's against the rules. That's actually what Fast and Furious was, and it's why Obama should have been impeached over it. But again, the bottom line is they made a move in Florida that is going to end up in the court system. Because trust me, I've already had people on social media and people calling in, like you, who are against this because of what federal law says and because of our Second Amendment rights. I'm hip to see it go through the court system. I want to see what our federal court system does with this. I think they'll accept it, to be honest with you. You think they'll reject it?
Can I make a suggestion that would...
No, I'm just asking you. Do you think they'll reject it?
I believe they will say the state can't. cannot do that. It is a federal matter.
Okay.
Since it is a federal constitutional level matter, I believe they
Well, I got to tell you, I don't think the age is. I don't think the age is a constitutional matter. I think the Second Amendment is the Second Amendment is the Second Amendment. Any provisions put on the Second Amendment, it's been judged over and over the decades that states can make their own individual restrictions on the Second Amendment. I don't know why we ever accepted that, but we did. So if the states are allowed to say you've got to pay a certain amount of money for a license to carry, or you've got to pay a certain amount of money to go hunting with a gun, or you have to pay a certain amount of money if it's this type of gun, and we've accepted that, none of that's covered in the Constitution either. So I do think states have the right, because of precedent, to make their own individual laws when it comes to guns. I don't know how much I like it, but I think that's already been shown to be true in the courts, no?
If it's telling you you have to pay an extra tax or you have to pay a certain license fee or something like that, they're certainly trying to stand in your way, but they're not stopping you. If they're telling you at 18 you cannot have it as an adult, that is stopping you. And at the state
they're not
level,
saying that.
Not
again, having it is in there. As Andrew said, the Republicans signed on in Florida because the Republicans understood that, yes, an 18-year-old can still have it. So can a 19- or 20-year-old, but you've got to be 21 or older and somebody responsible to buy it. That's the part that you bring up that I find to be very intriguing. I think you're very smart. And I think that somebody's going to have to challenge that in court, because the federal government can immediately, the Department of Justice can today, say to the state of Florida and Rick Scott, you can't do that because we've set the age limits. I think you make a very good point, Vince, and I'm interested in seeing where it goes.
Well, could I make a suggestion? I think
no, I want to move on. No, we just did 6 minutes, my friend. It's more like an interview. I love you like crazy. I want to get to some other people. Have a great night. 1-800-383-9624, joepags.com. When we come back, more of your phone calls. Carrie will have the news. It's very good news on the economy and much more on the Joe Pags Show. Stay right here.
This is the Joe Pags Show.
If you want us, just ask your smart speaker for us.
Hey Alexa, play 1200 WOAI.
That sounds like a pretty good choice to me.
Great to have you. The Joe Pags Show, 1-800-383-9624, joepags.com. Bottom of the hour, you'll hear from Andrew Pollack. He lost his daughter Meadow in Parkland, Florida, in that high school shooting. And they just got a gun bill done, a safety bill done in Florida. And Carrie, I don't know if you saw this. It's reasonably breaking news.
Yeah.
But the NRA, and again, I'm a member of the NRA. The NRA already has filed suit.
I can believe that. Yep.
Yeah. So I'll have that story for you here. And again, bottom of the hour, if you didn't hear my interview with Andrew Pollack at the bottom of hour number one, you're going to hear it right here coming up in just a moment. Let's see here. This over here and the thing. Where the hell is it?
What are you doing?
I just had it. Had it a moment ago.
What
the heck happened? The NRA and the Veterans Home. By the way, has there been a conclusion to the Veterans Home?
No, I was just looking. As far as I know, that situation is still going on right now.
Somebody, what was it, in California, somebody walked into a veteran's home and they were, like, wearing full armor?
Yeah, apparently, one report was it was a veteran who had been discharged from this hospital about 2 weeks ago who had PTSD. And that was one report that I saw, I think, from NBC earlier today.
All right, so we'll keep an eye on that. If anything changes on that, we'll certainly have it for you. Let me give you the story of the NRA. I know that you don't have this. This just popped up on my side over here. So this is from AOL, but really it's from, looks like Reuters, from Jonathan Allen is the person who wrote it, allegedly. I don't know who Jonathan Allen is. But here's what it says. Florida Governor Rick Scott, a staunch ally of the National Rifle Association, which is true, the NRA, signed into law Friday a bill imposing a 21-year-old legal age requirement and 3-day waiting period on all gun purchases and allowing the arming of some school employees. Within hours, the NRA filed a court challenge to provisions raising the legal age to buying a rifle or shotgun, asserting that the higher requirement, consistent with the minimum age nationally had for handgun purchases, violates the U.S. Constitution. Final passage of the bill by state lawmakers came 3 weeks to the day after a gunman opened fire with a semi-automatic assault-style rifle, which is not true. It was a rifle. Calling it assault-style doesn't change anything. At Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School, should be public high school, in Parkland, Florida, killing 14 students and 3 faculty members. Swift action in the Republican-controlled state house, where the powerful NRA gun lobbying organization has long held sway. I don't know whether the writer had to put that in there. This is a very biased story. Should not say that. Was propelled in large part by an extraordinary counter-lobbying campaign waged by young survivors from the massacre and parents of the victims. the young survivors that they're talking about, I guess, are the ones that we see so prominently. I don't believe they have anything to do with this getting done. I believe that it was Andrew Pollack. Anyway, the Parkland massacre and response to it by Florida lawmakers signaled a possible turning point in the national debate between advocates for tougher firearms restrictions and proponents of the right to bear arms as enshrined in the Second Amendment of the U.S. Constitution. Gun control supporters said the tragedy, the deadliest U.S. high school shooting ever, has given new momentum to firearm safety measures pending in at least 24 states, many in solidly conservative parts of the nation. Quote, today should serve as an example to the entire country that government can and must move fast, Scott said in remarks before the signing, surrounded by survivors of the shooting and their families. One of them, Andrew Pollack, whose daughter Meadow was among those killed, hailed the bill as a start. We're going to work on moving forward and hitting every other state to make sure they follow the lead of Florida, he told reporters. And again, we'll have him on at the bottom of the hour. The NRA is challenging, again, it's not in the Constitution, I don't believe, unless there's something in the Constitution I don't know about, that says 18 and 21. That was something that the federal government put in place as the ages. 18 for a long gun, 21 for a handgun. That's in there. It will be interesting to see if the NRA does make some inroads. It'll be interesting if the NRA does win. Now, I do believe it's federal law, like the caller Vincent said, and Vincent had a very good call. Very intriguing, very interesting call. Will the federal government tell Florida, you can't do that? Or will there be a national movement by the House and Senate to change it to 21 for both and allow for purchases by, I don't know, an older family member, a responsible family member, 21 or older, to buy the gun for the younger person. I know what they were trying to do. They were trying to make it so you still could keep and bear starting as an adult at age 18, which makes sense to me and my sensibilities about the Second Amendment. But Vincent brings up a very important point. Does that somehow infringe on what the government has decided is the allowable age for a long gun in this country? Very interesting how this is going to shake out. We'll keep a close eye on it. Let me go to the phone lines. In the meantime, Austin is in Tulsa. Austin, I appreciate your patience. What's up?
Oh, Joe, I'm about to send you a bill for my neck doctor for all this nodding and agreement I've done with you. But that being said, the people need to think outside the box. The NRA is a lobbyist, right? We're all in agreement there, but
The NRA lobbies, but hold on, Allison. They lobby, but that's not why they're together. It's an organization for people like me who believe in our Second Amendment rights. But go ahead.
And me too. And you know what? Full disclosure, I voted Obama twice. I was a never Trumper until I saw the violence on Inauguration Day, and I gave him a shot, and I've been nothing but pleased. But that Good. Being said, the NRA is not in the top 20 of the top lobbying contributors. I mean, number one, 56 times as much money is spent on our lawmakers to lobby for big pharma. What does every school shooter have in common? They're all on these SSRIs or whatever, these psychotropic drugs. Who owns the media? Big pharma has commercials on CNN, left and right, Fox News too. No other country in the world has pharmaceuticals being pushed like that. And then as for the tariffs, that's part of the North Korea deal. There's a fake news article out saying Donald Trump says he talked to North Korea, but he really talked to South Korea. No, this deal has been done weeks ago. Have you read The Art of the Deal? I just read it, and it's like a playbook into his mentality. It's already been done. North Korea has been
solved. And it shows what he's doing. No, you're absolutely right about that.
Yeah, Obama let boys into the girls' room, and he's Nobel Prize. Donald Trump has just solved peace in the Korean Peninsula. And they're talking about...
I won't say that. I'm not going to make that leap yet. Hey, Austin, I got to run. I love you like crazy, and I appreciate you holding and waiting and getting on. I'm not going to make that leap. The meeting hasn't happened. I think the meeting probably will happen. Not really sure how I feel about that, and we'll make sure that we talk about it, certainly. But he has not brought peace to the Korean Peninsula. Will he? Maybe. Does he have a shot? Yes. Better shot than anybody else so far? It seems to be. But we're going to hold our breath a little bit and wait and see. 1-800-383-9624, joepags.com. Quick break. We're back after this.
This is the Joe Pags Show.
It's Friday. You know the drill. Pop a top and join us. Coming up at 8 on the Michael Berry Show.
Hey, great radio stations across the land. iHeartRadio, joepags.com. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, email, all of it and more right there. It's the Joe Pag Show for a Friday, also on live stream. Want to revisit an interview I did with Andrew Pollack. He is the father of Meadow, who was killed in Parkland, Florida, in that school shooting last month. And he was on the way back from Tallahassee when I caught up with him after the big push to get this bill signed into law. Andrew, I appreciate you coming on. Thank you.
Sure, Joe.
I'm on the way back from Tallahassee, back to my neck of the woods in Coral Springs.
I was explaining to people that a couple of days ago, you and I were live tweeting, or not even tweeting, we were live texting each other before the show, during the show, we were talking to your wife. I know how much you wanted to come on and talk about this, but you were on a mission, and you weren't going to leave until you got the legislators in Florida and the governor eventually to make something happen. It was time for a solution. How do you find the energy? This is less than a month after the event. How do you find the energy to do what you've done?
Well, finding energy becomes easy to me. Someone murdered my kid at the school. So since someone did that to my kid, I'm indestructible right now. I can't be stopped. That's how I feel. So anything that I'm looking at in front of me, I have the energy of a lion to finish it, because I have my daughters looking at me, and I just feel there's... I have a lot of people behind me and praying, and I did everything for all the children. Not for my kid. I'm doing it for all the kids in Florida, and that empowers me, Joe.
It's Andrew Pollack. The name of the website that he's put up is called rememberingmeadow.com. I want you to go there.
Rememberingmeadow.com, so then they could follow me on this crusade, because it's not going to end in Florida. I have an obligation to bring it to every state across the country.
Yeah, I misspoke. It's rememberingmeadow.com. Go there.
Yeah.
Incredible information. Incredible pictures. Sure. You're an incredible dad. And you're darn straight. She's looking down and she's going, way to go, dad.
Yeah, Joe, let me just tell you a little about that, what
please.
I'm doing with on that website. It's I had a vision of a playground for my daughter, like a princess, because my daughter was everything to me.
Yeah.
So I had, all your friends, you have a lot of friends, and they said, what could I do? You know, how could I help you? What could I get for you? So I had a vision of building the most magnificent playground in Broward County. So that vision starting to come true with the help of a bunch of friends, be public, and I'll be able to go sit there and take my daughter, play in the playground and the fountains, and it's really going to be a nice park. And they could follow it at rememberingmeadow.com. That's really just something small that I've been working on.
Well, I want people to go there because it's very important, and certainly doing it in her honor and doing what you're doing in Tallahassee, and I'm sure you'll be at other state capitals too. We're kindred spirits. We don't know each other, but we're sort of meeting each other now. We're both from Long Island. I'm from Suffolk County. You're from Nassau County. I've got five daughters. One of them is 17 years old, and about a year and a half ago, she was missing for about 3 days. I couldn't even imagine what you're going through. What we felt then was such a dynamic, disgusting, horrible feeling in our souls. We found strength to go and find her. We found strength to get her back. We found strength to reunite the family.
Well, again,
you're finding strength through the loss of your daughter, this beautiful soul, and from the community. Tell me what you're hearing from people who have surrounded you with love. I know that keeps you going, too.
Well, it's just so many people. I can't even tell you how many thousands of people are just praying for me and writing me letters how I empower them and thanking me for what I did for all the children in Florida. And it's nice. I'm trying to get to them. I got thousands. So whenever I have a moment, I go through my messages and I try and respond back to as many as I can. But it helps, you know, when I'm sitting around. The mornings are rough. I think about my daughter a lot, but I'm focused. So let's talk about this bill.
No, I want to do that. I absolutely do, because you kicked some serious ass on this, and you were frustrated a couple of days ago when we were texting because you said there were some Republicans that wouldn't even meet with you, and you didn't understand what was going on. But then all of a sudden it sort of started to steamroll and snowball.
Yes.
Tell me what it was you wanted, and are you happy with everything that was in this bill?
I think the bill is great. I think the governor did a good job on it. The Speaker of the House, Rich Corcoran, he did a really good job. The all in all, there's a bunch of nice guys at the Capitol that are working hard, that care about the community. But there's a bunch, there's 50 that don't care about their communities. 67 voted yes and 50 voted no.
And what excuses were you hearing for people voting no? It doesn't make any sense to me.
It doesn't make sense. It's unbelievable.
Did they say what their problem was?
Yeah, I'm going to go over it with you.
Okay.
So when I went up, I had to go to Tallahassee a few days early because it was very tight. I think we when I went up there, the vote count was like at around in the low 50s.
Okay.
So we needed 59 votes to get the bill passed. So if you could believe this, so do you know what's in the bill?
Oh, I do. Yeah, we actually read the story about the bill before the bottom of the hour. So we did put out what was in there. Yes.
Okay. So the bill has a lot of really good things in it. One of the really good things in it gives the police the ability to Baker Act someone.
Right.
Not only Baker Act them, if they're acting a little irrational, when they Baker Act them, they could search the house and take away any weapons that they could use on themselves or anyone else.
And it's clear that this piece of garbage should have been Baker Acted several times.
Oh, man. But the police didn't have the ability to even take his weapons, even if they Baker Act them. They couldn't do that. So this bill, if it was in there, just that piece of the bill, my daughter would be alive today.
Mm. And for those who don't know around the country, I grew up in Florida. I know what the Baker Act is. The Baker Act is where you can psychologically have somebody brought into a facility or some sort of a medical facility where he could be tested,
yes.
Find out what's going on with him. Is he a danger to himself or to the community?
Correct. And now they have the ability not only to do that, but they could search where he lives, and if there's a weapon, they could take it.
Okay. Good. I'm glad that's in there. Also,
that's really good.
They also raised the age to 21 from 18. That also would have precluded him from getting a gun.
Well, let me explain that to you, because
sure.
A lot of people don't.
Do I still have you? I heard a noise, and you might have gone away. You still with me? Yeah, Carrie, I think we might have lost Andrew. Andrew, you still with me?
I have a hello?
Yeah, we actually lost you for a second. All right, explain the 18 to 21 part.
I want to explain this to you, because then I'll go further with
you.
Please. So the age to 21 is, say I have a son or a daughter who's 18, right?
Yeah.
And she's responsible. I could buy her a rifle to hunt with, to shoot, skeet with, to target shoot.
Yeah.
She's allowed to be in possession of it. But she can't purchase it.
Okay.
So even if you had a brother or a mom or an aunt, they could purchase the rifle for you.
Okay.
So it's only for purchase. So that hasn't been
reported much, because that's actually, I like that better, because I am a guy who's a pro-Second Amendment guy. I like
Correct.
The fact that if somebody who's responsible buys it and then can give it to the responsible party 18 years or older, that makes sense to me.
Yeah, because in the Second Amendment, it's the right to bear arms.
Right.
So they still have the right to bear arms. So think about it. If the kid is 18 and he doesn't have anyone, parent responsible overseeing him, maybe he shouldn't be able to just go to buy a rifle. This
right.
is a good thing.
Another
so
part.
That's why,
no, go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead.
I don't want to interrupt.
So that was a big part of some of these Republicans that I had to go back at. They couldn't understand that one little part of the bill.
Well, it makes perfect sense to me, and I'm a conservative guy who likes the Second Amendment. It's Andrew Pollack, by the way, for those who are wondering, if you're just joining us, he's the father of Meadow, who was killed in the Parkland, Florida shooting less than a month ago, and he's been working tirelessly in her memory and in the hopes of saving our children as well in Tallahassee, and I'm guessing he'll be at a state capitol near you. Another part of the bill is where those who are properly trained, who are teachers or coaches or security people on campus, can carry. This was an important part. This is why I have respect for Rick Scott. He was against this, but still signed it, because it's an important piece for you and for parents like me.
Let me explain it to you.
Yeah, please.
So there's two things. So the thing that I explained to you at the 21, you got that, right?
Yes.
You could still get it. So
Makes
that
sense.
Was a big Republican. That was the only thing that was bothering the Republicans, that. Okay?
Yeah.
So then you go to the Marshall Plan that they put in, that was in this bill also. So the Marshall Plan is 100% voluntary. So in order for someone to be a marshal at a school, it has to be approved by the sheriff's department and the school board. Right?
Yes, absolutely.
So if the Democrats, in that school district, didn't want it, they don't have to participate.
Right.
So what I couldn't comprehend, maybe you could help me. They were ready to throw out a voluntary program, okay, that they don't have to participate in, and then they were going to give up. What's great in the bill is there's going to be more SRO offices.
Right.
School resource. Okay, that. Mental health. Okay, they were ready to throw out the mental health that all the kids are going to get. You know, and in that mental health part of the bill, it's going to connect the school to the sheriff to DCF. Open communication, and they're going to get a counselor, I think, in about every school. Or, you know, to handle a few schools at a time. I don't have the exact number.
And Andrew, so, all of these people who voted against it, I'm guessing many of them were Democrats, didn't like this because of a voluntary program that the school board itself can turn down? Come on.
Maybe you could explain it to me.
No, I can't. It's politics. That's all it is, because this is ridiculous. If you have the right to say no, if you're a teacher, look, if somebody said you're a teacher, you must carry, I'm against that, and I'm a Second Amendment guy. It's up to the teacher, up to the school board, up to the sheriff's office. What's wrong with that?
It's misinformed. It's never going to be a teacher. Let me explain to you where this program is a really good program for certain areas. And I was instrumental in changing a name in the bill. It's actually named after one of the coaches, one of the hero coaches at Douglas. His name was Aaron Feist.
Right.
I don't know if you maybe...
No, we've all heard of Aaron Feist and what he did, okay. Yes.
So he went into that, not like that police officer, with a bulletproof vest and a weapon, waited outside. He went in, the coach went in, unarmed, and got shot and killed, you know.
And he had no ability to save himself or children.
No. So I went and I spoke with the Feist family about changing the name in the bill to honor him. So I worked on that about a couple of days with the family and with his wife, Melissa. And they had told me that Aaron, he would have loved that. He would have went right into that program if he could have. And if he was in that program, he would have been able to save everybody.
Absolutely.
On the sixth floor. So I want to get into it at another level of it to try and to explain everyone out there how this program could really, really help certain schools.
Well, if it's called a Marshall program, I'm guessing that it would be much like the Marshall program,
but they named
it's like an
it
airplane Marshall, right? No, and I'm glad they did name it after Coach Feist. That makes perfect sense to me.
Correct. So now you just brought up Airline Marshall.
Yeah.
Okay, because after 9/11, they implemented the Marshals, right? Have you ever heard of a Marshall shooting someone on a plane?
Never.
So that's my point.
And I think it's a perfect point. Here's the unfortunate part. We've already talked for like 13 minutes, and I'm out of time. Can you do me a favor?
Will you make me a promise
that you'll come back on?
Of course, but I got a lot of things going on.
Yeah, and I know you do. And as you continue going to these state capitals, I want to help support you in every step of the way. I want people to go to remembermeadow.com. That's very important to me. Go follow you on Facebook, because I know you've got a new Facebook page because you blew up. You had over 5,000 people wanted to be on your personal.
Yeah, I don't add anyone.
Right. So hopefully people will go and do that. But I want to support you in it. I want to ask you one thing before I let you go, and I've only got about a very short amount of time.
We didn't
talk much about your daughter. Can you just tell people something about Meadow?
Yeah, she's just, you're putting the pressure on me. You think I could say it in whatever? You gave me 30 seconds. I probably could do it in like, it'd take me 2 days to tell you how special my girl was. She meant everything to me. She was my princess. She got whatever she wanted. She was the strongest out of her siblings, and she had two older brothers.
Wow.
Quick story. We went to get their immunization shots.
Yeah.
The two boys cried, and she just took it.
Wow.
You know, and she was the little sister. But I got a lot going on. I'm not stopping in Florida, and I need help because we're strength in numbers, because we need strength against some of these politicians and lawmakers that don't have the best interest of our children.
Right.
And that's the only thing I'm in this for. I want to make it that I'm the last guy to bury a kid that got murdered in a school, Joe.
I promise you, Andrew, you've got my help 100%. Let's talk again, my friend.
Thank you so much. Thanks, Joe.
Really appreciate Andrew coming on. We're back after this on the Joe Pag Show. Stay right here.
This is the Joe Pag Show.
Trial.
Updating you with the news that matters, coming up at the top of the hour on News Radio 1200 WOAI.
Hi, great to have you. The Joe Pags Show, 1-800-383-9624, joepags.com. Glad to have you along for the ride. Appreciate you stopping by. I want to remind you that only tax evaders and tax cheats get in trouble with the IRS, right? Nope, that's not right. And nobody knows this better than Optima Tax Relief. In fact, mostly it's honest, hardworking Americans who, for a number of reasons, simply can't pay their tax bill. Like William, who owed $15,000 to the IRS with no way to pay. So William didn't file his tax return. And it was quiet at first. He thought, we're all good. Then came the letters, followed by harassing calls from collection agencies, and finally a letter to his employer. But by now, the IRS had tacked on so much in interest and penalties, there was no way William could pay. If you can relate, Optima Tax Relief wants to help, wants to hear from you. Optima knows that behind every tax problem, you've got good people, people with families, homes, savings, and paychecks that need protection, which is how they've resolved over $500 million in tax debt for their clients, and they're A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau. Call them right now. Optima Tax Relief. They're waiting for your call. 800-656-7034. 1-800-656-7034. 1-800-656-7034. Now, let me throw this out there. If you're listening to my program, you just heard my interview with the father of a young lady who died simply because she went to school one day. And you're calling him a jackass that you think should be off the radio. And it's something about how I'm being disingenuous. You're the worst kind of person. I don't know what kind of person you have to be that stupid. And yes, my response to you, and I gave her credit for this, I told her to her face, that I would respond to people the same way Dana Lash does with God bless. So yeah, you didn't catch me stealing that. Yeah, Carrie, I mean, how low must you be to criticize?
It's disgusting.
What did Andrew Pollack do wrong other than
nothing.
Try to fix the problems that existed that ended
wrong.
Up in the death of his daughter?
No.
I don't get it.
Mm-mm.
You know, I try to understand people, but I don't get it. Listen, I'm not going to give people short shrift on the phone lines right now. You've been holding a long time, and taking you right now and giving you like 10 seconds would be stupid. So we're going to do some pop culture. Boop.
Dirty pop.
But I urge you to go to Twitter, because I do a lot on the Twitter. Or go to joepags.com. Send me an email. Look, if you want to light me up, cool. If you want to tell me how great it is, cool. But you can get a hold of me through all the social media that way. Joepags.com. What do you have, Polo?
All right, so have you heard about this show that's going to air on Sunday on Fox? With O.J. Simpson?
Yes.
It's just...
And yes, I'm going to watch.
It's the craziest thing. I mean...
The question I have, and for those who don't know, it's, I think Judith Regan
right.
is interviewing him.
Right.
And he basically admits that he did it all and tells her how he did it.
Right.
And how has this not seen the light of day till now?
Yeah, and I guess because it was based on his book, If I Did It.
And then he actually says, here's what I did, and here's what I said, and here's how I did it, and here's how I killed her, here's what I do with the knife. Man, right. It's nuts to me.
Right, and they're calling the show The Lost Confession.
You going to watch that, Carrie?
Probably. I'm quite intrigued about it.
Yeah, I'll DVR. Have a good time on your vacation.
Thank
we got to go. We'll see you next week. Bye.